Praise the Lord. I welcome everyone to this special Sunday service in Jesus' name. The last Sunday of this year. And that would lead us to the first Sunday of next year. And that's why we've titled the message today, Anticipating a New Beginning from the End of the Old. The End of the Old, that's today. And then the coming Sunday, beginning a new year. And so we combine both together, anticipating a new beginning. God is going to surprise you. Whatever water has gone under the bridge, a new beginning for you. And we look at that new beginning, anticipating that, expecting that from this old end of the old, and everything negative, everything bad, everything confusing, everything that gave you setback in the old year, today is that day comes to an end. Future, bright future, future, a better future, future, a glorious future for everyone as we come to the beginning of the new year in Jesus' name. Father, we're gathered here for you. You created us in the past, you are recreating us now. And Lord, we pray that something yet unknown, something yet untold, something yet unseen will come upon everyone, every family, the whole church, and all your people. In Jesus' name, confirm your word today in every heart and every life. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You can see that we're coming to Malachi, the end of the Old Testament. And we're coming to chapter 3, reading from verse 3. And he shall say it, as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. You see the future tense there. He shall sit. Here is the end of the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is telling us at the end that whatever blessings we've got in the Old Covenant, now Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Lord, he shall sit. Is anticipating and looking forward to the new covenant and the new testament coming. And then he says he'll purify the sons of Levi, he'll purify the people of God, that they may offer unto the Lord a better, higher, glorious, righteous service. We're looking at Malachi chapter 4, reading from verse 4. Malachi chapter 4, verse 4, it says, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and the judgments. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, it says, behold, I will again. Here is the end of the Old Testament, the end of the Old Covenant, and he's looking forward and he's saying, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Once again, you will see that Malachi is saying, think about the old and think, wrap everything of all the blessings that we got from the beginning of the old to the end of the old. It says, a better thing is now to come. And it says, I will send. And so in the new year, we're expecting is going to send what we have missed all through the old years. We're looking at now, we cross over now to Matthew. We're crossing over from Malachi to Matthew. And we're looking at Matthew chapter 9, verse 33. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, look at that, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. We've crossed over now to the beginning of the new. And the beginning of the new, the multitudes, everybody said, we never saw anything like this in Israel. As we travel from Genesis all to Malachi, as we come to Matthew, what began to happen? We never saw anything like this. Mark chapter 2, and we're reading from verse 12. In Mark chapter 2, verse 12, and immediately he arose, and he took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were amazed. Somebody shout, amazed. You'll be amazed as you come into the new covenant. They were amazed and they glorified God, saying, we never saw it in this fashion. Because now they came to the beginning of the new. And it says, all we saw quite a lot in the old covenant. We saw quite a lot in the old time. But what we see now, as we cross over to the new, they said, we never saw it on this fashion. That's going to be translated into your life. In John chapter 9, verse 32, John chapter 9, verse 32, since the world began, old covenant, Old Testament time, since the world began, we've heard about Noah, we've heard about Abraham, we've heard about Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, we've heard about Moses, we've heard about Joshua. It says, since the world began, we have never heard that any man opened the eyes of the blind, that was born blind. That's telling us that whatever we have known, whatever we have heard, whatever we have read in the history of the dealings of God with man until this time, what is coming since the world began, we never heard, we never saw that somebody that was born blind, that their eyes were open. Why do we see that now? Because we cross over to the new. Once again, the message is anticipating a new beginning from the end of the world. There are three things we're looking at. Number one, great experiences of trusting believers until Malachi. You travel in the old covenant and you come to the end of the Old Testament, and it says there were great experiences of trusting believers until Malachi. Look at number two. Number two is greater. If number one is great, number two, greater expressions of transformational blessings since Matthew. Malachi, great until that time. Matthew, since Matthew, now we have greater expressions of transformational blessings since Matthew. Number three, if number one is great, number two is greater, number three, tell me, greatest expectations while truly believing in the Messiah. Now, at the end of Matthew, Christ showed he was the Messiah. I that speak unto thee, I am he. And now he sacrificed on the cross. His blood was shed. And then he said, it is finished. All your troubles are finished. All the harassment of the devil, the Lord broke his head. And he said, it is, tell me, finished. It's finished in Jesus' name. And now when you get out of that, out of Matthew, out of the end of Mark, out of the end of Luke, out of the end of John, and you come to the acts, the actions of the Holy Ghost, that the Messiah now indwells the heart of man, and he gives us the greatest of experiences and the greatest of expressions and the greatest of expectations. Now we have the greatest expectations while truly believing in the Messiah. Look at number one. Number one, we're looking at great experiences of trusting believers until the time of Malachi. Psalm 71, reading from verse 19. Psalm 71, verse 19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee. That's in the middle of the Old Covenant, of the Old Testament period. And it says, he has done great things, no doubt, bringing them out of Egypt, great. And all those miracles that confounded the idols of Egypt, great. And then going through the Red Sea, great. Bringing water out of the mountain, great. And then overcoming the Amalekites, great. Stopping the sun, great. Occupying the land of Canaan, oh God, thou hast done great things. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, it tells us, thou which has showed the great and sore trouble. And it says, shall quicken me. Again, in the Old Testament, quicken me. Ye who are dead in sins and trespasses, I say, quickened. And it says, by grace, we are saved, shall bring me up again. It says, from the depths of the earth. Look at verse 21. In verse 21, thou shalt increase my greatness. You have to say that for yourself. Even the Old Testament people, they knew that there is going to be increase. There's going to be expansion. There's going to be addition. And if you come to the new covenant, what are you thinking of? Then it says, thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Comfort me on this side. Comfort me on that side. Anywhere you turn, comfort. Anywhere you turn, compassion. Remember, that's what they were getting until Malachi was splitting it up. Now, one, two, three. Number one, we're looking at happiness and righteousness for Old Testament believers. Look at number two. Number two, the healing and recovery for the old tried believers. Number three, we're looking at holiness with renewal, even in the Old Testament, obtained plus transformation bestowed upon them. Look at number one. Number one is happiness and righteousness for Old Testament believers. Happiness. Happy. happy. Hey, look at Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 25. It says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Weakness driven away from your life in Jesus' name. In verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, is thy covering, is the umbrella over you, and underneath thee are everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. They will not destroy you. You must understand, if you miss the amen today, you missed it forever. The enemy will not destroy you. They can only destroy themselves. In verse 29 tells us, happy art thou. I see somebody there, your tears are wiped away. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. Saved by the Lord. They were saved. Their sins were forgiven. They were redeemed. They were regenerated. They were made anew. They were restored. He restores my soul. And he makes me to walk in the path of righteousness. That is Old Testament. And yet it says, you are saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars. Unto thee. It says, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. The point is happiness, joy. Psalm 51, reading from verse 6. In Psalm 51, verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. In verse 7, purge me, Old Testament. If the people of the Old Testament period, if they were purged, if they were pardoned, if they were purified, how much more the people of the New Testament? A kind of purging you never got before is coming your way. Purge me, it says, with hyssop, and I shall be clean. My heart will be clean. My life will be clean. My thoughts will be clean. My steps will be clean. It says, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. If those Old Testament believers were washed as white as snow, were cleansed whiter than snow, what are we doing with any defilement? Those of us that come into the new, whiter, whiter, whiter than snow. In verse 8 it says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Joy, gladness. When you combine that together, you have happiness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. There is happiness for the believer. And everything that causes sorrow, that causes sadness, God wipes everything away. In joy, in happiness, in gladness, will you live your life one day at a time this coming year? Sorrow and sighing will flee away from you. In verse 9 says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. And when they are blotted out, think of, a man is arrested. After the arrest, they had recorded all those things. And, he had given a statement at the police station. And they were carrying that thing with them. And now they got to the court. And they just said, okay, what's the point of accusation for him? And, they opened the records, all the reports, all the accusation, and even his own confession. They open it, the page is blank. They said, what? They opened and opened again. Somebody with milking has washed everything away. And when your records are opened, and the blood of Jesus has washed you, has washed your record, has taken all the iniquity away, when you get over there, they cannot see anything to judge you on. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all iniquities. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy, the gladness, the rejoicing, the happiness of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Somebody shout another amen there. And in verse 13, it says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. I'll be so happy, I'll be so glad, and I will so have the joy that the joy will propel me to go tell everybody, I got saved, you can get saved. I got forgiven, you can get forgiven. I got converted. The joy will drive you to tell other people. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Well, the joy of the Lord your God, and bring the word of God to people around you. This coming year, you have converts. Your people that turn to the Lord. It tells us in Psalm 71, reading from verse 15, Psalm 71, verse 15, it says, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the number thereof. It says, now that I've got the salvation and the righteousness, my mouth shall show forth that righteousness. You tell people around you, verse 16, in verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. No weakness again. Strength. I am strong. Let the weak say, I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Verse 17, in verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Look at that, Old Testament, the youth being taught. And he said, me, I'm one of those people that knew the Lord from my youth, because thou hast taught me from my youth. And then it goes on to say, and hereto have I declared thy wondrous works. In verse 18, now also when I am old and gray-headed. Isn't it wonderful that from his youth the Lord had taught him, and he never went away from the house of the Lord and from the kingdom of God. Yes, he had some ups and downs, but the Lord always brought him up. Maybe you have had ups and downs this year, and the Lord will bring you up above the sea, above the ocean, and above the waves and the storms of life. Yes, he had some challenges, but the Lord brought him up. And then it says, unto this, and then it says, I will reveal, I will show thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. The Lord used you like that too, in Jesus' name. Verse 19 says, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee. Look at number two there. Number two, the healing and recovery for the old tried believers. Many were the afflictions of the righteous in the olden days, yet God delivered them from all those afflictions. He sent his word and he healed them. And there was not one feeble person among them. He did it for them of old. Now we come to the end of the old and we come to the new. Much more than he did for them of old, he will do for you. Always, always, always remember that. They got healed, I must be healed. They were healthy, I must remain healthy. See how you are saying you are. Psalm 103 verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Look at verse 4. In verse 4 it says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Satan will not destroy you. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. It will satisfy you. The water will come out of the rock of ages and satisfy your thirst, satisfy your desire, and satisfy and supply all your requests in Jesus' name. And then also that thy youth be renewed like the eagles. It tells us in Job chapter 42, old covenant, old time people. Job chapter 42, looking at verse 2, it says, I know that thou canst do everything. How many things can God do? All those boils, he can clean them up in 1 minute. All the swellings, he can take them off in a moment of time. And all the things, all the sicknesses and everything that Job had lost, he could recover everything. And in your life, everything you have lost. You'll not say, what can I do? They are gone, they'll come back. Yeah. I said, they'll come back. Yeah. Because I know, Old Testament believer, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withheld, withholding from thee. And he tells us in verse 5, there, look at verse 5. It says in verse 5, I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. Look at the fellowship and those Old Testament people had with the Lord, hearing his voice and discerning that that's the voice of the Lord, and seeing him, as seeing him, you know, like Moses, he lived and he feared not, as a man seeing the unseeable and seeing the invisible. And look at verse 6. In verse 6 it says, wherefore I abhor myself, that's repentance, and repent in dust and ashes. Verse 7. In verse 7 it says, and it was so, it will be so in your life, that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath, my anger, my displeasure is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. Those were the people that came to condemn Job. And God says to the people that came to accuse and condemn you, I'm not happy with you, that you condemn, you accuse my own son, my own daughter. And you say, who am I, who are you, that God should defend you? God will defend you. And all the people that shoot the arrows from their mouth against you, don't touch them, don't talk about them. God will speak to them. And they will know, he says, my wrath is against, kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job has. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves of a burnt offering. And they didn't know that Job was a priest. They just saw him as a friend, and they thought they could say anything to him. But the Lord said, he's my priest. And if you're going to sacrifice anything, he, the priest, that will make your sacrifice acceptable unto me, for him will I accept. I'll accept his prayer. And he says, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me in the right way, the thing which is right, like my servant Job. Look at verse 9. In verse 9 it says, so Eliphaz and the Temanite and Bildad and the next person there and the next person there, it says, the went and the deed after as the Lord has told them, according as the Lord commanded them. It says, the Lord also accepted Job. When I pray, the Lord will accept me and confirm my word. When you pray, the Lord will accept you and he will confirm your word in Jesus' name. Look at where we're going in verse 10. In verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. When somebody is bedridden, cannot go to the farm, cannot go to the marketplace, cannot go to the office, bedridden, he's captured there. He's nailed down there. That's captivity. And Job was like that. He couldn't go out to do all he used to do. The sorrow in the heart, the suffering in the body, everything came together and pressed down on him. But now God turned the captivity of Job. Your captivity is turned around. The sickness is taken away. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 33, verse 24, it says, and the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The inhabitant, the person living in that house where you come from, shall not say, I am sick. Old Testament people, the people that had the old covenant, they said, I can live one day at a time, and I say no to sickness. And when I say no, sickness will hear my voice and run away. And you will not say, I am sick. It says the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. And as a result of the forgiveness, the healing automatically will follow. I will not say I am sick, because I am not sick. Sins are taken away, and sickness must be taken away. Old Testament, old covenant, and the old covenant is like that. What will the new covenant look like? Look at number three here. Number three here is holiness and renewal, obtained plus transformation bestowed. Holiness and renewal. The obtained, that, look at the word of God here. It tells us in Leviticus chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. Leviticus, Old Testament, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. In verse 8 says, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. Old Testament, sanctification and holiness. If they add it, we who live at a higher plane, at a higher level, with a better covenant, with the new covenant, sanctification is yours in Jesus' name. Holiness, renewal is yours in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 6, reading from verse 3. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Anywhere you are, you can tap into that glory, because the whole earth, every continent, every country, every community, the glory of God is available everywhere. And it says in verse 4, it says, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then in verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen that the King, that's the King of glory, the Lord of hosts. In verse 6, then flew one of the seraphim's angels unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he took, he had taken with tongues from off the altar. In verse 7, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, the fire of heaven, the fire from the altar of God has touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Old Testament, that they could have their hearts cleansed, their hearts purged, and iniquity all wrapped together as a single bundle of the depravity, everything taken away. And then we hear in verse 8 that in verse 8 also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Say that, here am I, send me. Say that again. There are thousands of people, you, all of us included, the Lord will send you forth. He sent you forth with the word, and maybe you never had any converse before. As you speak, they will hear, they'll be convicted, they'll confess, and they will be converted in Jesus' name. Now you are available, your feet available to run the race for God, your mouth available to speak the gospel unto the people, that you will meet your hand available to lift up that man that was going from Jerusalem, was going to Jericho, Jericho to Jerusalem, and you will help people. You will heal people. You will lift people in Jesus' name. Here am I, send me. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. It says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. The promise he had given from the old covenant time. And then he says, from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you, until no idol will remain in your heart and your life. That you'll be totally, completely for the Lord, and everything that he wants you to do and everywhere he wants you to go, you'll go there, and you go with a clean heart, a clean life, a clean character, a clean language. In verse 26, verse 26 says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. You need a better amen. What you couldn't take away by yourself. I don't want to be, I don't want to have a stony heart that has no feeling for anybody. A stony heart that doesn't have sympathy for anyone. A tough mind that doesn't see when other people cry. The Lord says, you couldn't take it away by yourself. You said, I guess that's my constitution. I guess that's what I was born with. But now, what you could not do for yourself, he'll do it for you. I will take the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Look at verse 27. In verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. He will in Jesus' name. Verse 28, in verse 28, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. The house that your father built and left it behind is gone now. They will not take it away from you. All those administrators and solicitors that, you know, that interpret this and that, the interpretation of what is written will be to your favor. And it says, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Beautiful year coming your way. Look at number three here. That's already number three in the Holy Hand. We're coming now to point number two. God bless everyone. Number two, great expressions of transformation. Then it tells the transformational blessings since Matthew. Now we come to Matthew. We've left Malachi behind. Those were good old days until Malachi. But now we come to a better day. We come to a greater day. And we come to greater blessings of the new day. Once again, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 33. Matthew chapter 9. We're looking at verse 33. It says, and when the devil was cast out, the devil will be cast out. Yeah. That devil will not remain in your compound. Yeah. That devil will not remain inside your body. Yeah. That devil will not remain in your brain. Yeah. That devil will not block your way, because your way is clear. Yeah. That devil will be cast out in Jesus' name. And when he cast out the devil, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Because now we come to the beginning of the new. Look at Mark chapter 2, once again in verse 12. Mark chapter 2, verse 12, and immediately he arose, you will arise. Whatever has bound you there, that you are bedridden, you are just there, rise up. The glory of the Lord is upon you, rise up. The power from on high comes upon your life, you rise up in Jesus' name. And he arose and he went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion, because we have crossed over to the new. John again, chapter 9, verse 32. John chapter 9, verse 32, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? But now it happened to the man. He was living on this side after Malachi. Have you noticed? He cast out devils, and they said, we never saw it like that. No, not in Israel. Why? Look at Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, devils cast out? No. Joshua, Psalms, devils cast out? No. And then when that one that was taken by four people, born by four people, Jesus by a word just say, rise up, take your bed and go back home, check up. From Genesis to Malachi, nothing like that. And the one that was born blind, from Genesis to Malachi, that the Lord opened the eyes of the blind since the world began. We have not known, we have not seen that anyone that was born blind, that he received his sight. And so what we're saying is, now that you are linked up with Christ and you come to this side of Malachi, you're on the right hand side. What had never been done will be done in your life. The change, the transformation, the miracle that never happened since the world began, since your world began. All the places you lived, in the village you lived, in the town, you've even been in the church all around you, since your world began. The deliverance you have never seen will happen from today. The healing, the progress, the success, the miracle jump from here to there. upon your life in Jesus' name. Look at three things here. Number one, greater salvation with higher righteousness. Number two, greater sanctification with heartier redemption. When you say something is hearty, that's great already. You are healed and hearty. But now, heartier. I said heartier. Everything for you now is up, up, up. Number three, greater saturation with heavenly resources. Look at number one. Number one, we have greater salvation with higher righteousness. And then he tells us, look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You have an empty glass, totally empty. And then you want water there. And then there's a trickle there, and there's a drop there. And you're still stretching out the glass of water until it is filled. Do you know that the Lord can fill your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit, your inner man, every part of you, your thoughts, it can fill that with righteousness, that you're totally full, full of righteousness. And he tells us in that Matthew chapter 5, reading from verse 22, in verse 22, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. That means when somebody is having, you know, that anger, he's not full of righteousness. But when you're full of righteousness, anger will flow away. And then he goes on to say, and whosoever shall say to his brother, to her husband, or to his wife, or to his child, Raker, thou empty-headed fellow. The man is angry. That woman is angry. He shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. They never heard anything like that in the old covenant. When they were angry, they were angry. And when they were wrathful, they were wrathful. But now it says higher righteousness has now come. Anger, no more. Bad temper, no more. Cursing other people, no more. Wanting to destroy them with prayer and fasting, no more in Jesus' name. Look at verse 23. Verse 23, it says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee. Understand, in the Old Testament, anybody brings a ram to the altar, he just offers the ram. The wife has something against him at home, he just offers his ram. Or the husband has something against her in the home, he just offers the sacrifice. And didn't worry about somebody is not happy at home, somebody is, looking morose at home because of his action. But now, the salvation we have comes with higher righteousness. That when you come to offer your gift, now your conscience is tender and your conscience is attentive. Higher righteousness in the new covenant. Look at verse 24. In verse 24, leave there thy gift before the altar. Leave your gift there. There was so much in a hurry to offer something in the Old Testament. They thought that ram was the most important thing. That offering was the most important thing. Our interaction, for them, that did not matter. What I do to other people, that did not matter. The criticism, the acid that we pour on other people's life, on other people's feeling, the acid they poured on other people did not matter in their own kind of righteousness. But now, the salvation we have as we cross over to Matthew, it says, when you bring your gift, you remember that somebody has sought against you, you leave that gift at the altar and you go thy way. The person may not look for you. The person may not say, you know, that thing you said offended me. He doesn't need you. The Holy Spirit in your own heart, in your own conscience, will tell you that that was offensive. That rubbed the wrong way. And the Holy Spirit will say, go correct that. If not, all the sacrifice that you offer, all the service that you offer will fall flat to the ground. But the New Testament now says, here is the greater salvation. Here is the higher righteousness. And then it says, reconcile with thy brother, and then come, offer thy gift. And look at verse 43. In verse 43, it says, ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. In the old, he hated me, and so I hate him. I pay him back in the coin that he knows to deal with. But now, look at verse 44. It says, but there's a greater salvation available now. And it's a higher righteousness. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Give me a good amen. You know, we have to have discernment. Any prayer book that tells you how to bring fire on your enemies, how to destroy your enemies. They're saying, as David fought against Goliath and killed him, so with the stone of authority and command, kill that Goliath. Old Testament, by the way, Goliath was not a personal enemy to David. They didn't know each other. Goliath was an enemy to the nation. And so when it comes to personal enemy, David did not throw any stone at Saul, personal enemy. Even when he made a mistake and something pushed him and he caught the hem of the garment of Saul, his conscience smote him. When it's personal, we don't throw stone at anybody. We don't cut down anybody. We don't pray for the death of any sinner, any enemy. And so Jesus says now, higher righteousness. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you. Amen. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Look at verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father, capital F, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Salvation, greater salvation. Righteousness, higher righteousness. I pray the Lord implant it in our hearts in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, it says, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. In the old, on the Sabbath day, they came to reverence God, honor God. They remembered the name of the Lord on the seventh day. Now we come to this site of redemption. And whether it is Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, now we cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot serve God on Sunday and then serve mammon, serve covetousness, serve greed, and serve avarice on the weekday. All the days of the week now, every moment that we spend, we now serve the Lord and we don't serve God and mammon. In verse 31 tells us, it says in verse 31, therefore take no thought, don't be so anxious, saying, what shall we eat? If we spend so much time in church, what shall we eat? If we spend so much time in evangelism and serving the Lord, running after those souls and bringing them to the kingdom, what shall we eat? If we spend so much time having devotion in the morning before we go out and we don't rush out like other people, what shall we eat? Don't say that. Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? Look at verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. You will not be like the Gentiles. You will not run the rat race of the Gentiles in Jesus' name. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Does the heavenly Father know your need? I said, does the heavenly Father know your need? He knows, he will supply. What do I do then? Higher righteousness, greater salvation for us now, greater than those people of the old covenant. In verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Reorder your life. Prioritize spiritual things. Give more attention and give more time and give more thought to spiritual things. Make that first, number one in your life. Don't say, all these other activities first, and then later, if I have time, I'll seek the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Addition in your life. As you come to the New Testament, that's what you're thinking about. Whatever you have got, addition will come. And whatever time you give to the Lord, addition will come. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, ask, and it shall be given thee. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. Amen. This year is the year of answered prayer. Amen. The year of solution to every problem. Amen. And the year of healing for every sickness. Amen. In verse 8 says, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. Verse 9, or what man is there of you whom if a son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Answer. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? No. Look at verse 11. If he then being originally evil, if he then being humanly evil before the grace of God came into your life, know how to give good things unto your children, good things unto your children. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Your children, you'll be giving good things to them. You think of those children before you think of yourself. I can't imagine a mother of a baby. The baby is crying. The baby needs attention. The baby needs food. And say, mother, your baby is crying. Yes, I can hear that. But, you know, I have to take care of myself first. I have to feed first. I'll give him attention. But I'm coming. I need to stop myself first. Any mother like that here? No, I can't imagine a father. Here is your child. Here are your children. This is what they need. Yes, I know. But I need to buy some luxurious things for myself first. No, if he been evil, even natural people, they give good things to their children. And our parents here, fathers, mothers, you'll give good things to your children in Jesus' name. Children in the church, children in the church now, the children are there and they need teachers. They need helpers. They need care to people that will take care of them. And we say, adult church, the children need teachers. Oh, we say, that's okay. And then the people who we cannot use because they cannot reach, the people who we cannot engage in the adult church because they are not that strong, will say, you, I cannot reach. Listen, you, go to the children church. And the children can read better than the people we're sending to them. That's not giving good things to your children. You think of the children first and the very best. I said the very best. The best of workers, the best of readers, the best of intelligent people, better than their teachers in their school. We give unto them. That's the new life for the new year. And so if you being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him good things this year. Verse 12 says, therefore, because of that, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. We're looking at number two here. Number two, there's greater sanctification and head and heartier redemption. When we look at the word of God, it tells us, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart. That's sanctification. When the heart is pure, the habit will be pure. When the heart is pure, the thoughts will be pure. When the heart is pure, all the recesses inside, the inner man, will be pure. When the heart is pure, the plan that you make will be pure. and the interaction, what you intend to do to that man, what you how to deal with that woman, all the dealings will be pure. There'll be no revenge, there'll be no retaliation, and there'll be no manifestation of teach him a lesson, throw something at him, jolt him, destabilize him. That heart is not pure that destabilizes other people. Sanctification, greater sanctification than what we find in the Old Testament, and higher, healthier kind of redemption. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 72, Luke chapter 1, verse 72, to perform the mercies promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. 73, the oath which he swore unto our father Abraham, verse 74, that he would grant unto us that we might be delivered out of the hand of our enemies. You need a better amen. Amen. When an enemy holds you and he says, I grab you, you will not go. You look here, you look there, you look up, you look down, and he's holding your firm. And he said, you'll never go from me. And the life you live, I control. The places you go, I control. The moves you make, I control. But the hold of the enemy upon your life will be taken away. The hold of the enemy on your progress will be taken away. Your time has now come that he will knock off the hand and the hold of the enemy upon your destiny. The enemy will not control your reward, will not control your progress, and will not control the height you get to. Or the hold of the enemy upon your life, every part of your life, be broken this morning in Jesus' name. Might serve him without fear. Without fear. Without fear. Look at verse 75. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Amen. Amen. Titus chapter 2, reading from verse 14. The redemption we have, the earthier redemption that we have, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. I just see you now, this year, you have rest that nothing will disturb. Redemption that no sin, no iniquity will jolt in Jesus' name. Because he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You'll be on fire. That fire will burn in your heart, and burn in your bones, and burn with zeal in your life, in Jesus' name. You'll say, this coming year, I thought I was zealous, but now you're going to have a peculiar zeal that you run, you will not be tired. You walk and you will not faint. And when people think, you should have been tired now, you see the power from on high has come inside you. And now you can do what you couldn't do before. The blood of Jesus cleanse and wash you. The power from on high resides inside you in Jesus' name. Number three is greater saturation with heavenly resources. Greater saturation with heavenly resources. Look at Matthew chapter 3, we're reading from verse 11. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. It says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, he that cometh after the old covenant, he that cometh after Malachi, he that cometh to in this new dispensation now, he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes say I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. With the Holy Ghost and with fire. This is the time. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Every useless chaff in your life, the Lord will come with fire. Burn everything off in Jesus' name. All the things that sapped your energy, all the things that wasted your life and your time, all the chaff that occupied so much space in your life, and the wheat has no place, the Lord will send the fire of the Holy Ghost. Burn all the chaff off with unquenchable fire in your life in Jesus' name. And it tells us in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem. And you know, in the past years, was so much in a hurry. We didn't tarry. We didn't wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Those are the people that were on. They will not be weary. They will walk. They will not faint, because the Lord will lift you up and you'll fly with the wings of the eagle. But those are the people that tarry. In the past, once we hear the word of God, we say, let us pray. Some people are in the habit of, they rush out, they run out, and they don't pray. But a different year has now come. A different time has now come. A different attitude has now come. Hurry, haste ruins us. Hurry, haste destroys the spiritual life. And the people that push and push and push and rush us, they cheat us from getting heavenly resources in our lives. But this new year, no hurry. Give me a good amen. Amen. This new year, no haste. We will obey the words of Jesus. And the words of Jesus, these are the words, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until it may take 5 minutes, until may take 15 minutes, until may take 20 minutes, until it may take 1 day for those apostles, it may take 10 days, until ye be endued with power from on high. That power will come. I said that power will come. And we wait before the Lord, and we seek with all our heart, with our whole heart, and we plead and we pray until he endues us, empowers us, envelops us with power from on high. In John chapter 7, reading from verse 37, John chapter 7, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, if any man thirst. Sometimes you hear somebody saying, I don't know what happens to me. I generally don't feel thirsty. And that's why I don't drink much water. We read, we learn, we know that drinking water is very good. Yes, I know, but I don't feel thirsty. You need to know what kind of food you eat that makes you thirsty. There are people spiritually, they are not thirsty. Thirsty for the power of God. Thirsty for the Spirit of God. Thirsty for the strength, the power that comes from on high. You need to know what you eat that makes you thirsty. The promises you read, the word, the precepts of the Lord you read, the things you read in the word that grabs your soul, that impacts your life, that gives you desire, that makes you to have a desire, a passion, thirst for the things of God. When you read that, when you hear that, it creates thirst in your heart and thirst in your life. And Jesus said, if any man, anyone thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Verse 38, in verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Not just a river, but rivers of living water. In verse 39, but they speak he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him shall receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. That's why they had to tarry. That's why they had to wait. That's why they had to thirst. And it is the thirst that is so gripping that you say, this thirst for the Holy Ghost, this thirst for greater strength, this thirst for a brighter salvation, for a brighter life, this thirst for a heart that is purged and purified. He that is thirsty will be filled. Then it says, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And in our lives, this is the year. Every step you take, everywhere you go, the Lord will be glorified in your life in Jesus. Point number three now, we've seen the great, we've seen the greater. Now the greatest expectations while truly believing in the Messiah. He tells us in John chapter 4 verse 25. John chapter 4. We're reading from verse 25. It says, the woman says unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Messiah is coming. When he is come, he will teach us all things. He will tell us all things. Verse 26, in verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He is the Messiah. And as the Messiah has come, as the Messiah, the mediator, has shed his blood for us on the cross of Calvary, now we're going to see greater, greater, greater things in Jesus' name. In John chapter 1, verse 50, John chapter 1, verse 50, Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou, thou shalt see greater things than these. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. I believe. I will see greater things this coming year than I have ever seen in my Christian life. I believe. I will see greater things than I have seen all my Christian life. Greatest expectations while truly believing in the Messiah. Three things we're looking at. Number one, Christ's message, full and final, teaching all things. Number two is conquering might, forceful and fruitful, triumphing over all things. Number three, his complete ministry, foretelling and forthtelling, transforming all things. Amen. Look at number one. Number one is Christ's message, full and final, teaching all things. Look at John chapter 15. We're reading verse 15. John chapter 15, verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things, those are the words, all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known unto you. He will reveal all things unto us. John chapter 14, reading from verse 26. John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He shall teach you all things. He shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. There are people that, you know, everything they listen to is what they have always listened to. Salvation. Testimony, salvation. Teaching, salvation. Exhortation, salvation. Message, salvation. And they don't know all things, but everything that the Father had put in the Son to reveal unto his people, he reveals all things. And when he reveals all things, he makes us to so pray and to so desire that we have the manifestation, the performance of all those things. And then he brings to our remembrance whatsoever he has said unto us. Chapter 16, reading from verse 12, it says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. If you are like Martha and you are combat about many things, you cannot bear them now. You have to change your attitude and be like Mary and sit down and choose that. Mary has chosen that good part which no one can take away from her. You have to go from the Martha mentality and come to the Mary settlement at the feet of Jesus, because many things I have to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Verse 13, in verse 13, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Amen. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come, all things to come. Look at number two. Number two is the conquering might, forceful and fruitful, triumphing over all things. And that conquering power will come into your life. It tells us in Mark chapter 7, reading from verse 37, conquering power. It will conquer disease in your life. It will conquer demons from around your life. It will conquer the devil that will try to stop you in your way. He'll conquer them for you in Jesus' name. Mark chapter 7, verse 37. And it says, and they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he has done all things well in your life. He will do all things well. We look at your spiritual life, all things well. We look at your professional life, all things well. We look at your academic life, all things well. We look at your physical life, all things well. We look at your emotional life, all things well. And we look at your joy, gladness, happiness, all things well. We look at everything you are concerned about. I'm concerned about this, I'm concerned about that. He will do all things well. Your year of fulfillment has now come. He has done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And look at Luke chapter 24, verse 19. Luke chapter 24, verse 19. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word. The might of the Lord, mighty in deed and in word. The word of your mouth will not fall to the ground. Mighty to conquer all things before God and before all the people. Ephesians chapter 3, reading from verse 16. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 16, that he will grant you. You missed your amen. Amen. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Amen. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, it says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20, in verse 20, now, when is your blessing? all things be fulfilled, performed in your life when? Before you go home, a change must take place. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Verse 21, it says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. Chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, reading from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Able. Divine ability coming upon your life. In verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. We will bring them down. In verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that he may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. In verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In verse 16, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You will quench them. You break all the darts of the wicked one. And everything weapon that is fashioned against you, you will destroy in Jesus' name. A new day has come for you. And then it says in verse 17 that you take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Look at number three here. Now, number three is the complete ministry for telling and forth telling, transforming all things. The ministry of Christ unto us in your life, in my life, in your family, in my family. The ministry of Christ foretells, he predicts, he foretells, and he tells us the thing we need to hear for this day that gives us the victory in your life in Jesus' name. John chapter 1 verse 3. In John chapter 1 verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And he will remake everything in your life. A new creature, brand new creature from today in Jesus' name. Romans chapter 8 verse 32. In Romans chapter 8 verse 32, it tells us, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Today, all things. Tomorrow, all things. The few days remaining, days passing year, all things. And when you step into this coming new year, you stand like you never stood. You talk like you never spoke. You pray like you never prayed. You achieve like you never achieved. Bright day coming for you. Great, glorious day coming for you. Because freely now and fully, He will give us all things. Revelation chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 11. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created how many things? Who is going to recreate everything in your life? The Almighty God. He will recreate all things, and He says, for thy pleasure they are and were created. Your life will be a pleasure to God. Amen. A pleasure to heaven. Amen. Angels will rejoice over you. Amen. And the bodyguard of angels will always be around you. The Spirit of God will be leading you every moment of the day this coming year in Jesus' name. Joy. Gladness. Happiness, amen. Holiness, amen. Healing, amen. Health, amen. Deliverance, amen. Dominion, amen. Triumph, amen. Power, amen. Power, amen. And power. Amen. Where are you? Up, 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 up. The Lord lifts you up. Pray, tell the Lord, you are now entering into a new phase in your life. Because we anticipate a new beginning from the end of the old. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer. Anticipate the great salvation. The high righteousness. The greater sanctification. The higher redemption. The greatest saturation. Saturating your life. Heartier redemption. Believe, and it will be unto you according to your faith. Walking by faith, living by faith, the expectation of faith, the experience of faith. The expression of a greater, higher faith. Believe it. A new day has come. Accept it. The resources of heaven available for you. Those were great experiences in the Old Testament until the time of Malachi. Great, great, great experiences. You are saved. You are forgiven. You are healed. That happiness, that health, that holiness from the old covenant time until Malachi. And now we open the pages of Matthew. Out of the greater expression, greater expression of the love of God, of the goodness of God, of the compassion of God, that since Matthew, we can say we never saw it in this fashion. And Christ has died for you to grant you that greater expression of experiences available now. And through the Messiah, we have the greatest of expectations being fulfilled. This year, learn to tarry before the Lord. No hurry. No haste. Tarry in the presence of the Lord. He'll saturate your life with His message, His might, His ministry. Healing, yes. Health, yes. Recovery, yes. Redemption, yes. Deliverance, yes. Dominion, yes. Success, yes. Significance, yes. Super abundant, overflowing blessing, yes. Yours for the asking. Ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone, that's you. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto you. Give good things to your children. Children in your home, give good things unto them. Children in the church and the children church, give good gifts unto them. Good teachers unto them. Children, converts, new converts, provide good teaching, good supply unto them. And if you know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him. All things are yours. He spared not his only begotten Son. He gave him unto you. How much more shall he freely, fully give good things to them? Give you freely, fully, all things in Christ. He gives and gives and gives and gives. And will keep on giving and giving and giving. You have received. You have received. In Jesus' name we pray. Did you hear what we used to say? No lack. This is the time of the total fulfillment of that. No loss. The time has now come for you personally, and no limitation. All the edges that bottled you in, they are blown down and thrown down in Jesus' name. Abundance this coming year. Super abundance this coming year. Overflowing blessing in your life this coming year in Jesus' name. Peace, perfect peace. Purity, perfect purity. Power from on high upon your life. Raise up those hands, raise up those hands. You are now going to become the very favorite of heaven. You open your mouth wide and you will feel it in Jesus' name. Keep those hands up. Father, we come before you. This passing year is almost gone. A new year is about to come. Lord, all the sorrows of the passing year, suffering of the passing year, the sickness of the passing year, the limitations of the passing, the loss of the passing year, the lack of the passing year will not follow anyone to the new year in Jesus' name. Lord, will not carry guilt or condemnation beyond this moment. Anything that brings guilt or condemnation, Lord, I pray, forgive and purge and pardon and cleanse in Jesus' name. Sorrow of heart, suffering in the conscience, and every sin that has bowed us down. And we did something foolish, we said something foolish, and now the guilt is trailing the steps of somebody that, Lord, I pray, forgive completely, totally, in Jesus' name. As you forgive, Lord, forget. Forget. Put all the iniquities and all their sins, all the guilt, all the condemnation in the bottom of the sea, of the ocean that will never rise up again, in Jesus' name. Recreate in everyone a new heart, a clean heart, a free conscience. That, Lord, we now start afresh on a new slate, on a clean slate. Lord, your people will be totally free, because the Son of God has set them free. The power to go and sin no more. The grace to go and sin no more. Grant to everyone in Jesus' name. A sanctified heart, a purified heart, a holy life. Grant to your people in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, power from on high. Not only for the apostles, but for the people. Power from on high. The power of the Holy Ghost. The power of a new strength. The power of a new standing. That you build up and strengthen our backbones in Jesus' name. Anoint their mouth. Anoint their hand. Anoint their speech. The Holy Ghost fire that burns every chaff, come upon every life in Jesus' name. Be strong in the inner man. I pray the Lord will be carrying you through now on the wings of an eagle. And wherever he leads you and wherever you go, power manifested in your life. All the powers there before you get there. All the powers there that will try to challenge you as you get there. Before you open your mouth, God will bring them down. While you're still praying, while you're still asking, solution will be coming from heaven. Provision, provision, provision will be coming to your family in Jesus' name. When you sit at the table, the Lord will provide everything you will eat. In your family, no loss of any life. Your children will not die prematurely. Your children will go farther than you have gone. In education, in training, in profession, in success, Lord, lift up our children in Jesus' name. The money to educate all your children. The resources to build up your family, the Lord supply from heaven. Go high. Fly high. Go higher. and the highest you have ever known since you were born again. The highest. The highest. The highest. The Lord will feel in every life. Be healed. Remain healthy. Be delivered. Have dominion. The words of your mouth in prayer will be a decree, and heaven will fulfill it. Whatever you reject is rejected. Whatever you receive, you have. Possess your possession. Where are you? Possess your possession. Where are you? There, possess your possession. As you go back home, joy. You will see joy on the way. You will meet joy at home. You will meet provision at home. As you go back, gladness, rejoicing, strength, and power. You're healed already. You're delivered already. And the joy of the Lord will be the strength of your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It is done. In Jesus' name.